Hello, my name is Daniel Mullinsiefen. I'm a senior lecturer in psychology at Goldsmith, University of London, as well as the scientist in residence for Adam and Eve DDB, a large advertising agency in London. I'm going to present a workshop on audio branding and testing at the ABA Congress in 2015. And in my workshop, I'd like to cover the various different ways in which you can scrutinize the fit of music to a brand, the fit of music to an advertising campaign, or just a particular radio or TV ad, and what can we do as psychologists to justify or to scrutinize the music that we choose and that we think is going to enhance the brand. Currently, I'm working on a range of projects. So I'm working on academic projects as well as industry-related projects. And what I'm trying to do is to strike this fine balance between academic rigor and scientific rigor. So running projects that can go into peer-reviewed journal and use academic standards, but also trying to answer real-world questions that are relevant to industry and are relevant to sound and audio designers in some instances. And that's sometimes a tough challenge because it's often tempting as an academic to slightly alter the question and answer a question that's easier to tackle in scientific terms, but then it's not as relevant to the people working in the industry and the people wanting an answer from you. Recently, I've been working with a range of new technologies, and these are biosignal sensors. So that means galvanic skin response sensors as well as heart rate sensors. The advantage of these new sensor technologies is that they're wearable, so you can wear them in your daily lives or during shopping experiences or during aesthetic experiences like going to a concert or going to the theater, and you can measure people's arousal responses. So you don't have to ask people, but you can take their bio responses to any stimulus they see, and then if you're able to align what people see or hear with how they respond in terms of their heart rate or in terms of their skin response, it might tell you about their internal emotional arousal states. And this can be very, very valuable information that you wouldn't be able to gather otherwise. And we've just done a large project wiring 10 people up while they listen to the entirety of Wagner's Ring der Nibelung on four subsequent nights, and trying to identify what makes Wagner's music so special in terms of its emotional arousal potential. And similarly, the same techniques can be used to identify features and triggers in music that go along to TV ads or that are played in commercial contexts. So what is it about the music that gets you aroused, that gets your attention, and that makes you receptive to the brand message or the brand profile that you're presented with? And this is part what I want to talk about in the workshop, and I think it's quite an exciting avenue to go down. So these new biosignal technologies, they're fairly cheap, they're portable, they're wearable, and they can answer questions in situations where other neuroscience methods like EEG or fMRI would be completely impractical. Also, I think these wearable devices are connected to other recent developments in the audio branding world or in the marketing world, and that includes personalization of ad messages or branding messages to specific individuals that have specific customer and marketing profiles, and also to specific contexts and situations in which you might find yourself in. So the idea that we can track where people go, what they see, what they listen to, and then get an immediate feedback of how they react to it in terms of emotional responses is a very interesting and attractive one. And you can think of eye trackers or wearable eye trackers that are built into glasses, or these portable GSR or heart rate sensors that you take with you. And what people are trialing at the moment in London and other big cities is to personalize, for example, outdoor advertising. That means you get specific ads or hear specific ads when you're in a certain type of context, and that could be through your streaming device if you're listening to music, or through your in front of your YouTube clips and so forth. So this is quite an interesting area. I'm still thinking there's still a long way to go to make this work really seamless and smooth, but many people are working on it, and it's very exciting to see what can be done in this world. So I think one of the interesting developments that are coming on in the audio branding industry is this idea of personalization and individualization. So the idea that you might have specific audio content that is not just there once for the brand and tailored to the brands, but you might use different kinds of audio assets to appeal to different target audiences and to get them interested in your product or in your brand. So if you have a product or brand that where the intention is to create an appeal for a very diverse age group from 20-year-old to 60-year-olds, music and audio is one of the prime vehicles where you can clearly delineate people and where you can address your message to different groups very easily, because the sounds that we're familiar with from our late youth and early 20s are the sounds that we are most responsive to. And this can very well help to segment markets and segment a consumer audience. And I think this is something that audio branding companies are increasingly aware of and are working on at the moment. And that's a highly interesting trend. The other changes and progress that I see is that, at least with some big companies, audio branding or audio assets, sound branding, is coming more towards and into the mainstream marketing mix. So along with visuals, with outdoor advertising and so forth, people, marketing managers, in, at least in some large corporations, are thinking about the audio side of things as well, which is good news. Probably for all of us involved in that area. So when I'm thinking of the ABA Awards in Berlin, it's highly exciting to think about the event. So Berlin is a really exciting city. There's a lot of work going on there in the audio world. It's a very creative city. A lot of music has come from there. There are composers, thousands of studios and producers who are out there. And this huge talent it's just around. So it's a perfect city to have an audio branding congress there. Of course, I'm also very excited to be part of the Academy Day that precedes the actual awards day, and to give one of the few workshops there. I'm also looking very much forward to the other workshops being presented, because I think that copyright issues, licensing and sync issues are very interesting, and also the introduction into audio branding by Steve Keller should be highly exciting, especially for people who come from outside the field.